Well, good morning and welcome once again to all of you here and also, of course, to all who have tuned in with us today through the internet. Welcome. Now, if you were with us last week, or if you've tuned into the message from last week, I was teaching on the importance of knowing, not knowing about, but knowing and experiencing God's love. The reality of God's love. It's one thing to know that God loves you, to know in your head. And most people in the church know that God loves them. But it's quite another to actually experience and live in that love. It's no different than reading a book about someone and knowing them through the information you get on the book. But I'll tell you, it's quite a bit different when you have to live with that person and you really get to know that person. Amen? So it's not about knowing about God's love. It's knowing and experiencing His love. For how can you and I truthfully say that we know God or that we have a relationship with Him without really knowing or experiencing His love? Some people get this funny idea that you know God and you're not supposed to feel or experience anything, but that's not true. When you have this relationship with God, you will know it and you will experience it this side of heaven. John 3:16 says, God is love. God so loved the world that He gave us who? Jesus. And because many people do not understand really what God gave us, they do not see God's love for them in the light that they should. Jesus was, I said this last week, I'm going to pick it up there, we're going to go on today, but Jesus was God's love demonstrated on the earth. Jesus was and still is the love of God revealed. You cannot know God's love outside of Jesus. Jesus is the love of God revealed to us. Number one, Jesus became our sin and suffered all the pain and punishment for your sins and mine. In other words, Jesus came and He took upon Himself freely all the consequences of your sins. He took what we did deserve, which was what? Pain and punishment and eventually death. He took what we deserve for our sins, eternal death. So not only now can we receive, or not only now do we not receive what we do deserve, but God's love through Christ has given us freely what we don't deserve. Like it's one thing to be forgiven and pardoned. It's like that analogy I always use with the police officer stopping. I believe Mike McVeigh used that in his books. And you were speeding, breakneck speed, going down the highway, and he stops you, and you're thinking, ooh, I'm going to get a speeding ticket. So he comes over to the window and goes through all the preliminaries, asks for your license plate and registration and so on, and you think, oh, that's it. I'm done. $300. I don't know how much a speeding ticket is today, but I think it's up there. And so you're just convinced you're going to get a speeding ticket. And he comes back to the window, and instead of handing you a speeding ticket, he gives you a check. That's the grace of God. Instead of giving you what you do deserve, in Christ, He gave you what you don't deserve. And that blows our minds as much as a police officer giving you a check, a gift, when you don't deserve it, when you deserve to be penalized. God's not penalizing us. He penalized His Son. And like I said, if that wasn't enough, then He went ahead and He gave us the life of His Son, a new life. So we got what we don't deserve freely, which was a new life. And this love, this incredible love, is seen only in Jesus. So, first of all, how did God our Father do this? How did he demonstrate this love? And in going through this carefully, I'm going to use some scriptures. I'm trying to get us to have a broader understanding of a point that I want to drive home today. It's so important. It's nothing new. It shouldn't be new to most of you here. You've heard this word. But the Lord really impressed in my heart this week, as I was meditating on something, how vitally important it is today at this hour for his people to understand this principle. So let's find out, how did God do this? And the more understanding you have of what God has done in and through Christ for us, the more you will understand what I'm trying to drive home today. So God sent Jesus, his only son, to the earth in a flesh body, a body just like yours and just like mine. And Jesus took upon himself freely all of the penalty of the sin of the whole world. In other words, he became our sin. And he died our death to pay for that sin. But the Bible tells us that God placed us into the death of Jesus. So his death actually became our death. His death became our death. Jesus became one with us in our sin, in our unrighteousness. And we became one in death with Christ. And in that time of darkness, Jesus suffered. We were in there suffering. And every sin of all people, all humanity. And when he had fully met the requirements for those sins and all the demands that our sin had made on him, he cried, "It is finished. It's done." And because Jesus was innocent of all sin, it says, Jesus, who knew no sin, who had committed no sin, his righteousness overtook unrighteousness. It's like light blasted into darkness, and darkness had to flee. And Jesus was raised by the power of God, and we who had been joined to him in his death were also raised and are now eternally joined with him in life. We are one spirit in the Lord. The Bible refers to us now as what? 2 Corinthians 5:21, as new creations. We are new creatures in Christ. Christ was the firstborn from the dead. You were also born from the dead. We are no longer sinners. We need to stop seeing ourselves as sinners. But we are now the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus took care of your sin at the cross. And we are now the children of God on this earth. Not because of our obedience to God's commands, but because of Jesus' obedience to die our death, to become our unrighteousness and pay off our sins. And through your faith and my faith in what he has done for us, we are now become the righteousness of God in Christ. It has nothing to do with your good works or how good you are. It's all about what Jesus did at the cross. And the more we hear that, the more we understand it, the quicker we're going to receive and believe that we are righteous, independent and apart from anything we will ever do. This is the love of God that was demonstrated to us in Christ. And to know and to experience this love in reality, we must live in and dwell in the victory of that cross. We must live out of that understanding that we have, that we are no longer unrighteous. That'll change your whole life. It'll change how you think. It'll change how you speak. It'll change everything about you. But I'm here today, church, to tell us that there is a place this side of heaven where you and I can dwell in and enjoy the realities of the new creation that we really are in Christ. Enjoy the love of God, because that's what this is. This is the place of the love of God. A place wherein we can enjoy every blessing that Jesus himself is enjoying. And the only place this side of heaven that we can truly know and experience the true love of our Father. A place where you and I can become untouchable. Let me say that again. It is a place of refuge. It is a place where we become untouchable to the world. Untouchable from any curse, from every enemy that's out there. Romans 8:37 says, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, through Christ. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things that are present, nor things that are to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. The place that I'm referring to today, where we become untouchable, is in Christ. When you are in Christ, you are untouchable. And nothing, the Bible says, can separate us from this place. There is no height, nor depth, nor principality, nor power that can keep you or come between you and Christ, because you are now one spirit in him. And there's been many times over, you know, the course of my own life, speaking about this place, this dwelling place, that we become untouchable. And, you know, I thought about it much. I meditate on it a lot. And probably more than most, because I'm a teacher. And I need to speak the truth up here. And the funny thing is, you know, you see the truth in the Word of God. You read it. But, you know, even myself, I've been so tempted to believe that there really isn't this place this side of heaven. Come on, I'm talking about a place where you dwell, where you are untouchable. This is not just a, you know, this is not something, I want you to see this place that I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about just being untouchable for a moment here or a moment there. I'm talking about your whole lifetime. And I saw it in the Word of God, but you know, it seemed to be contrary to what others were teaching. Many, many, you know, they don't believe. They believe as long as we're in this earth body and in this earth suit, and on the earth, we're going to suffer. We're going to go through what all everybody else goes through. And that someday we will have life and eternal life and enjoy freedom from the curse and from the enemy that roams on the earth. And, you know, that's what most people believe. So it's really tough when you see that, no. That really isn't what the Bible is telling me here. And it's really hard to reach for that in the face of what everybody else believes. And so you're tempted over the years to just give up on it. It's like, you know, is anybody ever going to reach that place of being untouchable while we're on the earth? Is anybody ever going to walk in that? I wasn't seeing too much of it around me, and I wasn't seeing a whole lot of it in my own life. And so then you begin to think, well, maybe, you know, maybe I've got this all wrong. And then we begin to interpret what the Word of God is saying through my experience. And then I look around and then I start interpreting God's truth through Tori's experience. Well, you know, Tori was believing God and she was a Christian. And how many times have we heard that? I heard it twice on TV this week on Christian programming. Beautiful Christian people who was believing God right to the bitter end and they died. What does that tell the rest of us that are left? Ooh, this isn't so easy. Or maybe God doesn't heal everybody all the time. Maybe God doesn't deliver everybody every time. And you see, and that's what the devil wants us to believe. But you know what? The word of God is sharp like a knife. There is no ifs, ands. There's no wavering or gray areas or wondering. God says it like it is. You will either believe it or leave it alone. And this morning, a truth that I want to drive home is a truth the Lord has really opened up my eyes to see, that I need to really understand and take a hold of. And so I'm sharing it with you because of the hour in which we live. It's so important for us to see this truth. And if there's anything I've learned over the years as a teacher, it's this one thing, that I will never or cannot interpret the truth of the Word of God based on my experiences or the experiences of others. I don't even go there. I can't go there. Because experiences are always going to change. But God's Word is forever. It changes not. I want us to turn over to the book of Psalm 91 this morning. Psalm 91, to me, has always answered any of my questions of doubt, whether or not we really have this place, whether or not we really are new creations. Psalm 91 always answers this question without any doubt. Does this place exist that I'm referring to? Does it exist on the side of heaven? But if you study this psalm very carefully, you will see that it calls it a secret place, and it is available for every one of us. Every one. God leaves no one out. And it is available for all of God's children in this life. How bad do you want it? In this life, this place is here for all of us. So how do I know this? Well, because it goes on to say, if you've ever read or studied Psalm 91, it's about how we are protected from all of the curses and all of the things on this earth. And it says that we are safe and hidden from all of those things. Well, let me ask you this. Is there curses in heaven? Is there calamity and evil and sickness and plagues? No. So, of course, it's referring to our life on the earth. You can't argue this. Because once we're in heaven, there is no devil. There is no sickness and disease and poverty and all of the curse that is running rampant on the earth today. There's none of that in heaven. So don't argue about whether this is meant for heaven or earth. The only place you're going to find these curses is right here in this life. And there in Psalm 91, it says there is a secret place for you and me to dwell in. And we become completely free and safe from everything that's going on around us. Do you want to go into that place? Do you want to live in that place? I do. So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Now, we have already established that this secret place is Christ himself. It is a place that the world knows nothing about. They may look at you and see you as different, see you as always never having trouble in your life, but they have no idea. They just think you're lucky. No such thing in the Christian vocabulary as luck. It does not exist. There's no such thing as luck. We are either blessed or we are cursed. We don't operate under a spirit of luck. That's the world that operates that way. So we've established that the secret place is Christ himself. And it is a secret place. Why? Because two reasons it's a secret place. The world doesn't know about the place. And number two, when you're in that place, the devil doesn't know where you are. You're hidden. So of course he can't come at you when you're in that place. He doesn't even know where you are. It is far above. This place that we're talking about is far above all power, all principality, all might, all dominion, a place high above every name that can be named in this world and in the next. It is a place where all things are under our feet and we are far above all things. We are sitting together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. We are not working. We are not striving to get there. This is what we need to understand. It isn't someday in the sweet by and by. We are there now. If you are in Christ, if any man be in Christ, you are already seated there, far above. Far above. It doesn't say above. It says far above. We're not working or striving to get there. We are there in Christ. What are we doing there? Sitting down. Sitting. We're resting in heavenly places in Christ. We're not fighting, striving to get above the enemy. We're sitting down in Christ. This is the secret place of the Most High. And he who dwells therein shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, is what the Bible says. If you dwell in Christ, in this secret place, you will dwell under the shadow, or you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, the word shadow, I looked it up, and it simply means, it's the Hebrew word tzel, or tzel, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, and it means to shade, to defend, or defense, to hover, cover over. So when we dwell in the secret place, when we dwell in Christ, we will live under the defense of the Almighty. We will live under the protection of the Almighty. Do you think anything can happen to Jesus? Absolutely not. He is so far above any evil or any demon. And you're in him. That's where you really are. That's the real you. Even though we still are on the earth, that's where we are. And when we dwell in this place, we are living under the defense or the protection of God himself. Protection against what? Well, the psalm goes on to say, God's protection is there for all of these different things that are listed in Psalm 91. And there's a lot of things listed there. And when we look at them and we read about the protection that we have and our freedom from them, it's really hard for you to believe that and for me to believe that, because we've lived in this world. This stuff is all around us. It's been in our homes many times. And so here now the Bible's telling us that if you dwell in this secret place, there will be no plague that comes nigh your dwelling. It doesn't say once in a while or a little bit of plague. No, it says none. It can't even come near you. No evil will befall you. Now that goes contrary to what preachers will say. Well, as long as you're living in this world, you're going to suffer and you're going to have all kinds of evil. Things are going to happen to you. No, the Bible says here, no evil is going to befall you. When you're in this place, you're untouchable. So we need to read the Word of God for what it is. Let's not mix it up and say, well, okay, does God really mean no? When he says no evil, does he really mean no evil? Think about all the evil in the world. It can't even come near you. Think of yourself as being completely untouchable. From all evil, all plagues, all sickness. It's hard for us to go there. It's hard for us to believe that. Wishful thinking. Isn't that what most Christians will say? That's wishful thinking. It's nice to think of, it's a nice thought, but I don't think so. So we explain it away. And we just take a crumb of the protection that God is really asking us to take. We just take a little bit. And we kind of abide in Christ, and then we're out of Christ, and then we're in Christ, and then we're out. But we do not live there. We do not stay there. We read the psalm. And like I said, most of us, our first thought is like, yeah, right, wishful thinking. But there's nothing wishful about it. It's God's truth. This is the love of God experienced in Christ. God's love isn't a feeling and it's not an emotion. It is tangible. It's real. It's given through the things he's given us freely through Christ. And you can experience the reality of that. When you are never sick, you're experiencing the love of God. When you see no evil ever befalling you, you are experiencing the love of God. God's love is not just supernatural. It's naturally supernatural. But it's something that you can know and experience in this life because it's Christ. And it's all that Jesus gave you when he took your sin. So there's nothing wishful about it. If God's word says it, the Bible tells us God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, will he not also do it and make it good? God is not going to lie to you. I didn't write this Bible. I'm not saying something that I want the Bible to say. I didn't write Psalm 91. I'm only reading it like you, and I'm teaching you from it. I'm getting your eyes on it so we can see what we're missing. So God will make his word good. So the first thing that you and I need to do to experience this love of God and the blessing, all blessings of God, is given in this Psalm chapter or verse 1, to rest. He who dwells in this secret place, he who abides here, lives here, to believe, to really believe that as Jesus is, so are you in this life. To believe that you really are one spirit. That's why I went through that right at the beginning. How we've been made brand new, just like him. He's the head, we're the body. Have you ever heard of the head and the body being detached? The body, you know, you're one. You're one. And if Jesus is enjoying, if the head is enjoying life, guess what? So is the body. Your body doesn't do one thing and your head another. Jesus is the head. You are one spirit in him. As he is, so are you, even in this world. It is this place of rest. It is a place of rest. Why? Because you and I are not trying to obtain these blessings by our performance. But it is a place where they belong to us because of his performance. We're not trying to get there based on our performance. We are there already because of his performance. That's God's love. And we have now become partakers and sharers in of all that he has. We are joint heirs. When you are joint heirs, that means everything that Jesus inherited through the cross. Did you know Jesus obtained an inheritance through what he went through? And we now are joint heirs together with him. So I'm telling us this morning, church, we need to see ourselves in this place. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, it says this. If you are risen with Christ, how many of us here are in Christ? Is Christ risen? Yes, then so are you. If you are risen with Christ from the dead, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. We need to keep our eyes on who we are in Christ. We're sitting together with him in heavenly places. It says, set your affections on things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you are dead, goes on to say in verse 3, and your life is now hid with Christ in God. You are dead. Are we listening to what that verse is saying? I'm going to say it again. You are dead. The old you, the you you used to be, is dead. The old you who was under the curse, who was under the control of the world, and there was nothing you could do. The old you that was living in the system of everything passing away, living in the natural world. And it's hard for us to believe that we can be delivered from this world. But that old you that was subject to everything in the world is dead. You are now, the Bible says you are now dead to the world. Think about that. You're dead to the world. Does anything in this world affect a dead person? No, he's dead. He can't get any deader. He's already dead. You need to see yourself as dead to this world. Verse 20 of Colossians chapter 2, if you back up, it says that we are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. Here again, this isn't me saying this. This is the Bible telling us this. You are dead to the rudiments of the world. What does rudiments mean? Anybody want to take a guess? What does the rudiment, we're dead to the rudiments of the world? Well, if you look up the word rudiments, it actually means the orderly system of the world. So the world has a system, right? The world has a, and in the natural, it's natural to see things going in the orderly fashion of the world system. And we know that the world system, in this world, everything is passing away. You know, today the flower blooms. It's nice for a week. Then it passes away. That's the orderly system, nature. Okay? But nature is under a curse. The Bible tells us we are dead to the world and to the orderly system of the curse. So for us to stand up and say, oh, no, that's not going to affect me. I don't plan on aging. The world would look at you like, okay. You know what? The world, even the church would look at you like you're crazy. But isn't that just part of the orderly rudiments of the world? And even the Bible goes on to say, you know, if you've been delivered from this, why are you touch not, taste not, handle not? You got all these rules and regulations about the world. You know, don't eat that. That's going to hurt you. Don't do this. Don't do that. He says, if you've been delivered from that, why are you still so conscious of it? But get your eyes on him and see who you are. That nothing in this life can touch you. You are untouchable when you dwell in this place. So the rudiments only means the orderly fashion of this world. You are dead to the orderly fashion of this world, which is everything is passing away. The Bible says we are in the world, but we're not of the world. Did anything affect Jesus on the earth while he was walking here? No, he was way above it all. Not until he gave up, not until he bowed at the cross and allowed the world to kill him. Before that, nothing. He was untouchable. He didn't walk around. I mean, lepers came. Do you know how contagious leprosy is? The Bible tells us that if you had leprosy, you had to keep a certain distance from every person. And you had to scream, unclean, unclean, and warn people to stay away from you. Because if you came a certain closeness to them, you would catch the disease. And in the Bible, lepers were coming to Jesus, and Jesus was reaching out and touching them. Do you think he was afraid, thinking, whoa, you know what? I shouldn't be touching these lepers. I'm going to catch it. No, he was far above all of the curses and all of the diseases and the plagues and the evil that was on the earth. And so are you. So are you. And it wasn't until Jesus willingly gave up that position and became our sin that these things came upon him and destroyed him. And he did it for you so that you could be free, so that you could lay hands on a leper and not have to worry about getting leprosy. You don't have to worry about every little bug in the air and every little thing that's going on, because that's all part of the world. And you are far above that. You are untouchable in this world. We are dead to the natural order of this world, but now alive to the supernatural. Wow. If you only knew what an exciting life we could live. You are dead to the natural, but you are alive to the supernatural. It's exciting. The more you think about it, you think, yes, this would be such a great way to live. Just imagine anybody that was suffering or in pain, you had the life of God. And you could set people free without just like Jesus did. Even Jesus said, when I leave, you're going to do greater works than me because I'm going back to the Father. How are we going to do that? With the supernatural life that's on the inside of us. So we're dead to the natural, but alive to the supernatural. That's how you need to see yourself. Whereas death used to rule over us, think of it this way. Death was ruling over you. We tried to stop it with the creams and the wrinkle creams and the diet and the exercise, but it's ruling over us, and bless God, it's gaining. We need to see it this way. Whereas death used to rule over you, Ivy, now life reigns through you. You have the life on the inside of you, eternal life, a life that doesn't get wrinkles, a life that's immune to all of that. And I mean, you're young now, you young people here sitting with your lovely skin, you don't care. It's not a thing you're really after. But there's many listening to me through the internet that probably think, wow, give up all my wrinkle creams. And as you get older, these things become a little more real. Amen. When you're young, you think you're going to be young forever. But it doesn't take long. The years go by and you begin to see the world system, the orderly system beginning to work. It's hard to believe when you're 18 that you're going to reach 58 or 68 and think, was that really me? But it happens to the best of us. Amen. So whereas death used to rule over you, new life now reigns through you. The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of the righteousness he's imparted unto you. That's why we've been talking about righteousness. It is life. If any man be in Christ, he is a brand new creation. The old has passed away. And the Bible says, behold, in other words, look. All things have become new. Look to the new. It doesn't say behold the old. And that's what most of us do. We behold what we used to be. It says, no, 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 it's passed away. Behold the new. Look to Christ. See who you really are now. The old has passed away. All has become new. And all things all these new things are of God. No, that's not new. God didn't take the natural and make it new again. No, he gave you the supernatural. We are as dead, I'm going to say this again, you and I are as dead as we're ever going to be to this world and to the things of this world. Just because someday we're going to leave this body behind and go to heaven, we're not going to have any more victory or any more power than we do right now where we stand in this body. We are as dead as we ever will be to the world's order and to the curse of this world. Colossians 1:13 says, God who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he's translated, past tense, hath translated, taken us out from the powers of this world, and he's put us into the kingdom of his son Jesus, where there is all life. So I don't care today, whoever's listening, I don't care where you are in life today, I don't care what's defeating you today. It could be sickness in your body. It could be sickness in your finances, relationships. I don't care what it is. Anything that is a curse. If you are in Christ today, nothing, I'm going to say it again, nothing can separate you from that life because it's already in you. No one can pull it out of you and say, sorry, you had it for a while, but you lost it. No man is able to pluck you out of the Father's hand. Who is at the Father's right hand? Jesus. And where are you? In Jesus. And no one can take you out of there. No one can separate you from that place, that dwelling place, that place of security. So if you're in Christ, nothing can separate you from, because that is the love of God, and nothing can separate you from God's love, which was given to you and for me through the gift of Jesus Christ, his Son, which was the gift of righteousness and eternal life. And through that, deliverance from the world, from this world system. All the old has passed away in your life. All things have become new. And I'm going to say something else. It's not your sin that is keeping you bound to this world, subject to this world. Some people think, well, you know, there is that place, but in order to get there and remain there and have God's protection, you got to live right. Now, I'm not against living right, of course. We want to live right for the glory of God. But I'm telling you honestly, that has nothing to do with it. If you are in Christ today, I don't care where you're at in your life. I don't care where you're defeated. I don't care what is going on right now, right here, this moment. That's where you are. And you can walk into that place right now and stay there forever, where nothing can touch you. Nothing. Because there's nothing that can touch God. No curse, no evil, nothing. You are completely safe, free from all harm. So it's not your sin that's keeping you. God doesn't say, well, you're not worthy enough to come into this place. No, Jesus Christ made you worthy. He gave up his life so that you could be worthy, so that you could become one spirit. You see, it's already done. You need to have the revelation of the fact that before the world was even created, God already called you. He already ordained you. And those who he's called, he's justified. If he's justified you, he's already glorified you. It was done long before you were even here. So if he already did it way back then, he already placed us into his Son, Jesus, to be conformed to the image. What makes us think now? It's done. It was done outside of anything you ever did. All you had to do was believe it. And you were instantly placed into Christ. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Amen? So it's not your sin that's keeping you. Don't stop and think, well, you know, I'm going to enter into that place someday when I have it all together. When I'm doing things right. When I get it right here. And when I'm living better. Then I'm going to enter into this place and sit down. No. You will never do it right until you're sitting there. Because it's from that place that everything else will come into place. Everything else will effortlessly begin to line up. We got to first of all sit down. We got to take advantage of what God has given us and done for us through Christ. I want more than anything in my own life to experience the promises of Psalm 91. And especially today, my mind goes there often. When I hear of the things that are happening in the world, and I'll tell you, there's some gruesome stuff going on. And it's like, it's just escalating. Countries are at war. There is horrible things happening. I mean, you can't turn on the news without hearing about stuff that's just mind-blowing. And my mind goes often to Psalm 91. And I ask myself, do I really believe that we're safe from all of this? Do I really believe that? And it's funny because I've been praying and just spending time with the Lord even over the last week. And that was what he really laid on my heart, was you stay here in this place. Don't you move out of this place. You dwell. You become untouchable only when you're dwelling in me. And so it's a place that you and I must live. If you ask me, what does it mean to dwell in this secret place? How do I even create? Because we need to create pictures in our mind to give us an understanding of what this really means. I don't know how to stay. I don't know how to abide in Christ. What does that mean? I mean, he's not here physically that I can sit on his lap. He's not, you know, how do you see it? How do you interpret it? It simply means you need to believe that you really are one spirit in the Lord. You really are a new creation. You need to see yourself in the position on the earth as Jesus is, far above, high above all principality, power, and might. You need to sit in Jesus' finished work, in his victory at the cross. You're resting, and that doesn't mean we're not doing anything, but we are working from that position. I already have freedom from that curse. I already have freedom from every evil. Why? Because I'm in him. And so from that position, you look at life. You live life. Don't let anybody with their words defeat you. When you are in that place, don't let people tell you that you're not. Because it must become a reality to you. That's where we're going to live. That's why the world is going to look at us and they're going to run to us because of the Lord our God in our midst. Why do you have all this? What's happening? I'm in the secret place. It has nothing to do with me. It's not because I'm so good or so special. It's because I have learned the secret. And it's Jesus Christ. And it's staying in him. It's dwelling in him. Abide in me. And I will abide in you. We want to live this life, not just know about it. It's not enough for me to look and say, oh, yes, this is available. And say, close your Bible. It's like looking in the mirror at yourself and then forgetting what manner of man you were. Let's not do that anymore. Let's look into the Word of God. Let's believe it and let's live it. Let's live in it. Let's make it real. I don't want to just know about the promises in Psalm 91. I want to live a life where there is no plague that comes nigh my dwelling. I want to live a life where there is no more evil that can touch me. I want to live a life where all the promises, where only with my eyes am I going to look and see the reward of the wicked. Only with my eyes, because it's not going to come near me. Now, to the world, that would sound very pompous. Like, who do you think you are? But you know what? It's not pompous. It's actually humility. Because I'm in Jesus and it isn't me. It's him. It's him. It's what he's done. A life where no evil can touch me. A life where I am always the head and never the tail. And these promises are not for when we die. I'm going to say that again. I can't stress that enough. These promises are not for when we die. Because when we die, there is no evil. There is no plagues. Why would God give us this promise then? These promises are for us on the earth today. Even now. And I believe it is time, like never before, that we, the church, you and I, take God's word for what it says. And believe, really believe that we are dead to this world, to the system and the rudiments of this world, and begin to act like it. It isn't a wishful thought. It's the truth. And this truth can set you free. But you need to sit there. You need to get your eyes set on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. And the Holy Spirit will open up our eyes, I believe, and show us and give us a revelation of us dwelling. See yourself as being completely safe in the arms of God, untouchable by any evil, any sickness, any calamity that tries to come your way. No weapon formed against you. None can prosper when you're in this place. They'll fall off you. The Bible says the enemy will come at you one way and he'll flee before you seven ways. You are the light of the world. You're lit up like a light bulb because of the light that's in you. The devil knows it. But what he doesn't want is for me to tell you what I just told you. He gets very worried. It's like, oh no. Once they get into that place, we're done. Can't touch them. They don't even want to. It's a very dangerous place for him to go around, lurking around your house. Think of it that way. Use your imagination. Make this real in your life. And I guarantee you, you will begin to experience the love of God in reality. You will see the Lord working in your life, moving. It's like, wow. And it will be so supernaturally natural. And that's how God works. We're always waiting for some big booming voice or some emotion to move us. You know, God works supernaturally natural. And there's times where he's speaking to you and you don't even think, you think it's your own thoughts. It's not your own thoughts. You need to know that he is always speaking to you. I mean, example, Lorelai calls me this morning and says, oh, I thought we were going to do this one song yesterday. I'm picking out the songs and I'm thinking, let's do this song. We haven't done that little one there in Awesome God for a long time. We should throw that in. Then I picked out four songs and I thought, nah, that's probably enough. But I still had the song that that song goes with. So when she called me this morning and said to Cam, I said, you know, God is speaking all the time. And we think it's our thoughts. That wasn't my thought. That was God's thought because he knew. He knew Lorelai was going to phone me this morning and want that song. So rather than me stress out, I already had the song that goes with it. Oh, yeah, sure, no problem. We'll just add that. In fact, I thought about adding it, but I didn't. So, you know, I'm just giving you that. It's a small example of how God works. But he's always speaking to you. He's always talking. Don't always think it's your own thoughts because he gives you thoughts. So today I want us, I didn't even get to verse 2 in Psalm 91. We're going to get there next week. And you're going to learn how to stay in this place. You're going to learn how to flourish as you are seated in this place where you are completely protected from anything going on around you. Amen? You need to get that message next week because it goes hand in hand with today's. And I was going to go there today, but the time is up. So God is good. Amen. And all of us have the same privilege and opportunity to remain in this place just as much as we want. God's not going to drag you in there kicking and screaming like we would our kids. Get off the street. Get in the house where it's safe. God has freely offered us this place of refuge, this place of complete security. But he's not going to drag you in from the world, from the underneath the curse. He's already delivered you. You need to freely sit down and enjoy what God has already done for you. Amen. Let's close in prayer.